Hello and welcome to Safari Conversations, the Singita podcast. Even though we've been around for 30 years, we're relatively new to podcasting. But we are storytellers by nature and we've got so much to share with you. Alongside our conservation partners, we've been busy exploring and protecting Africa's wilderness. So join us as we unpack inspiring, fun, and sometimes crazy stories where you'll meet our incredible people and learn all about the special places in Africa that we call home. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes.
Welcome to another episode of Safari Conversations. I'm Skylar Newell, the Head of Partnerships and Impact Analysis at the Grimani Fund. And today we're speaking with two of my colleagues, Matt Perry and Glenn Stain. Matt is the GM of the Grimani Fund and Glenn is the Head of Anti-Poaching at the Grimani Fund. Today we're going to be talking about a new special fundraising project, the Wagora Bike Ride. This is an epic three-day ride through the Serengeti. And there's a lot to get into. So hello, Matt and Glenn.
Hello, Skylar.
Wanted to start off by giving some of the listeners just a little bit of context about who each of you are and how you ended up doing the work that you do. So could each of you introduce yourselves a bit and what your background is?
Thanks, Skylar. Yeah, I've been working for Grimani Fund for the last 18 years. Came in as a youngster and got thrown into the deep end working with the anti-poaching rangers, people that taught me a lot about, you know, what this operation entails, and also taught me to speak Swahili, which is a lovely language and a language that I use every day. So yeah, it's been a hell of a personal journey for me, and I've really enjoyed being part of this team. It's got huge success and achievements, and I guess now the important role that we all have is how we carry that forward and ensure that we continue to create positive impact for Grimani.
And Glenn, you're newer to Grimani and the project here, but can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so I've been here just under a year and a half, but started working in conservation in 2018 through some old military connections. And yeah, I started in South Africa, moved to Namibia, Zambia, Cameroon, mainly in the training role, and then went operational sort of side in Mozambique for a couple of years, and then landed up here, enjoying it here, so I'm hoping to stay for a long time. It's a short version.
The event that we have just started here now, the Wagora Bike Ride, it obviously focuses on anti-poaching work and specifically the work of the scouts that Matt's worked with and Glenn, you now work with now. Can you guys both talk a little bit about why what the scouts do is so important to a conservation project like this?
Sure. So I think obviously we want to draw attention and raise awareness for the work of anti-poaching rangers and game scouts, not only here at Grimani, but around the world. They are the people that sacrifice much to ensure that we all get to enjoy the benefits of wildlife and viewing wildlife and protecting our biodiversity and our natural heritage. So I think it's important that we, you know, appreciate what they sacrifice, because at the end of the day, it's we all get to benefit from their efforts. And I think it's a nice way for us to celebrate their work through an event like this.
Yeah, without repeating Matt too much, obviously the guys' job is quite dangerous. Keeping the guys motivated is one thing, but we have a good team here. But in a nutshell, if the area is not protected well, there's not going to be a lot of wildlife, which means there won't be a lot of tourism. And also that coincides with the amount of employees that we have on the property. We have a lot of people here from the local communities that work in the lodges or in anti-poaching or all the different departments. So as long as we protect the area specifically as well for the migration, yeah, for people to enjoy even when we're not around.
Both of you talked a bit about why the scouts and their specific role is so important to this place. And this event is specifically named after one scout in particular who continues to inspire both of your teams. Could you talk a bit about why this event is named what it is?
So Kitabuka Wagora was a senior game scout for the Grimani Fund Trust. Sadly, he passed away in 2008, was killed by poachers. And so I think to really highlight the dangers and the sacrifices that, you know, well, the sacrifice in this instance that Kitaboka made, the tragic loss for his family, the pain that went with that, we felt compelled that we should use his legacy, use, you know, his reputation as a leader within the Grimetti Fund, and to create something meaningful, to showcase the work of the anti-poaching game scout or ranger. You know, I think if one looks at statistics, I think the stats on it are since 2011, on the African continent, there's been just under 600 people that have lost their lives carrying out the work of an anti-poaching ranger. And so, you know, we owe so much to them, and we owe so much to Kitaboka in our world. He's an example for all of us, and I think we feel responsible that to make sure that we never forget his sacrifice, and to ensure that his contribution doesn't go unchecked. And we use that as inspiration and motivation for our work, to ensure that we continue to make a positive impact and to support our rangers who are out there on a day-to-day basis protecting our natural heritage.
Yeah, I think oftentimes when we all talk about Kitaboka, the ideas of sacrifice and taking on the daily dangers of being a scout comes up a lot in being a leader despite that. Glenn, I was hoping you could talk a little bit about what exactly a scout does and what some of their daily activities might look like.
So, yeah, with our teams based out in the bush, their daily sort of routine will be prep themselves for either early morning or late evening or even nighttime operations. So that's going on patrol on foot or even laying ambush during the night, long hours, covering large distances as well. So it can be quite a grind. But then we also have our canine unit and a quick reaction team. So they, if they're not on a routine patrol, they're either doing training or assisting the guys out on the ground. We also have other teams stationed in observation posts. They do 24-hour surveillance over the area. They're in two-man teams. So yeah, tough job, but we try and shorten their rotation so we can keep the intensity high. But yeah, and it's also, if the poaching is quiet, you keep them motivated, which is sometimes a challenge, but we do have our spikes in activity here, so guys generally keep busy. But it is always a worry. You've got poachers in the area sometimes, but also dangerous game, which our guys are getting used to now, but you do worry about them, especially with buffalo.
So your scouts are also part of this event, and I know they're typically out in the bush on foot, most likely at nighttime. And this event gives them, as well as the guests that come, kind of a different chance to interact with this landscape on bikes. I was hoping one of you could chat a little bit about what does this bike event actually look like?
Sure, I'll take that one.
Put your hand up.
So it's a five-day event, and three of those days are getting on your bike and riding 50 kilometers a day in a magical landscape, you know, iconic, the Serengeti. And a chance to, you know, it's a great touch point for participants to interact with the very people that are out there protecting this landscape. And also at the same time to take on a little bit of a personal challenge, you know, 50 kilometers a day, 150 Ks over 3 days is an effort, and it's an achievement. But I think really what underscores this whole event is, you know, being able to come here and support a great cause, and, you know, to make a positive impact by making a donation to support the very people that are out there day and night protecting these wildlife. So I think it's a fantastic opportunity to be participating in a safari that has a great purpose behind it. So yeah, I think we're really looking forward to next event, and no doubt that this will be a flagship event going forward.
Yeah, I think one of the coolest experiences biking this year was to see people who aren't typically riders get on bikes and, you know, put themselves out there for a cause that they really care about. Glenn, you planned the routes. Could you chat a little bit about how you chose those and what they actually look like?
Yeah, because we're based in the western sort of concession, most of it is sort of flat, but I wanted to throw in some hills here and there just to, you know, if you do want a little bit of challenge, you can bomb it up the hill if you want and then speed down. Basically, I wanted to mix it up as much as possible. Where the explore camp is, there's only one way in and out, really, but it's only a short bit that you have to repeat. So I just try to mix it up as much as possible and try and see all the different terrains and landscapes that we have around here, but keeping in mind that we want to do the 40 to 50 Ks per day.
And would you say that a lot of the biking requires you to be a super experienced biker, or do you think you could be someone that's super new to the sport?
No, it could be super new. I mean, we had one of our colleagues, she's not an experienced cyclist, and she manages it, so there's no real technical sections. It's basically just getting out there. There's no rush. You don't have to race around. We're all enjoying the wildlife, so we stop often, go at your own pace. They don't need to be some amazing cyclist. It's for everybody.
And I think some people might struggle to picture what it's like to bike in the Serengeti. What would you say people can be comforted by from a security standpoint when they're biking out here?
Yeah, you'll get a security briefing, number one, before you even start. And you would have already seen some of the area with some game drives. So it's not like you're flying straight in and then you're on a bike seat riding around. But we will provide scouts. They're all going to be armed. We also have vehicles that follow us around. But you're generally just going to be in your small groups depending on your pace. Yeah, even down to 2-3 groups, you'll be fine. There's plenty of people around and nothing to worry about.
And when guests come here and they get to partake in this experience, what do you think they walk away with understanding more about AP?
I mean, they'll get the chance to speak to some of our scouts. So I think it's just hearing their stories, specifically some guys, what they've dealt with in their time here, whether that be poachers or even wildlife. For example, our head scout, he's been hit with a machete on the head before, bitten by a lion. So just sort of stories like that, or even great experiences where we've been operating at night and just watching a huge herd of buffalo or elephants and walking around them and carry on tracking guys in the night. So I think them getting to interact with guys who know the area, and they've also never been at a lodge or camp before. So for our scouts to interact with guests at a beautiful lodge or camp, it's also great for them. So yeah, it's not your normal safari experience.
No, definitely not. One of the most important parts about an event like this is the amount of money that we're able to raise to do the work that your team does. Matt, you've also been a huge part of AP and the fundraising for it, and also figuring out what kind of projects we are going to pursue in the future to better combat poaching in this area. Can you talk a little bit about some of the Keystone projects funding from this event could go to?
Yeah, sure. I think it is unfortunate that, you know, we require a law enforcement team to secure this area and so many other areas like it. But it is necessary, and it requires big resources to enable the scouts and to ensure that, you know, they have everything that they need to carry out their role effectively, comfortably. And so, you know, this is a great opportunity to support that, helps us to, you know, offset some of our operational costs, and, you know, anti-poaching being the biggest department, certainly from a human resource perspective, we feel like this is a great opportunity where, as Glenn alluded to earlier, that, you know, people can come and make a difference and feel like they've contributed to something meaningful. So yeah, I think a lot of the donation is going to directly impact Glenn's department, the anti-poaching department, which ultimately is going to be to the benefit of all of the Game Scouts within that department.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things here is that the money that we raise from this kind of event goes on to give our guys what they need to do their job in the field. makes me think about what some of the potential riders might be thinking about, which is what might they need in order to do this kind of event? What might they need to bring with them?
I think personal items, just, you know, your usual safari clothing that you would bring with you. But then from a riding perspective, yeah, a hydration pack is useful to have, you know, where you can pack your hydration powders or goos or gels or whatever it is, you know, any supplements that you might use during the ride. Shoes that you're comfortable riding with, riding shorts and any riding shirts that you might have. We will be providing the participants with a Wagora riding shirt. So I think just, you know, with short of bringing your own bike and helmet, then just, you know, go through your list of what you would usually wear if you were about to head out on a 50-kilometer ride. And I think that's about it. And as I say, just be prepared for all types of weather. We can literally have rain one hour and then hot sunshine the next. So, you know, sun cream and perhaps just a light raincoat if you want to pack in the bag. But yeah, if you like getting dirty, then you really don't need a raincoat out here. Get wet and enjoy the elements. Part of the experience. Generally, in the mornings, we don't have too much rain in the mornings out here in the Serengeti. Normally hits in the afternoon, but it can get quite hot. So, you know, pack your sunscreen. If you ride with a hat under your helmet, bring that. And then, yeah, if we do end up having a morning, you know, downpour, pack a little light jacket. But really, you shouldn't have to worry too much. And I think that's it from a what to pack perspective. There will be other guests, and how we are going to coordinate the ride is that we will try and have 2 to 3 groups. Perhaps there'll be some riders that are slightly faster than others. So we'll have a lead group, a medium pace group, and then those at the back just enjoying the scenery. Yeah, it will be controlled. There might be times where we'll stop everybody or stop a particular group. And, you know, we could possibly bump into wildlife. Many species exist out here, but obviously we are keeping a lookout for any dangerous game. We are in the Serengeti, so, you know, species like buffalo and elephant, need to be concerned of. But if we do see them, we have protocols in place where, you know, we'll stop the group, get them to move off our pathway, and then we'll continue. There will be 2 to 3 mandatory stops where there'll be some snacks and drinks, and people can just take the opportunity to take a little breather before they get back on their bikes. These intervals will be explained to the participants during each brief before the riding day. So, yeah, there'll be plenty of opportunities to stop. And I think what's important as well is for the listeners is this is not a race. This is a bike adventure. This is not about your time, but rather about you coming in and riding in such a unique landscape and interacting with some of the great people that work in the Grimetti Fund, especially the Game Scouts.
Yeah, I think all of that makes it such an incredible, incredible event. And on top of that, you're riding into or out of most days to a beautiful tented camp out in the plains to have this immersive experience in the Grimetti area. Glenn, I was hoping you could chat a little bit about what the actual days are like, how people can prepare for what time they're waking up and leaving, as well as some of the support systems we have in place.
Yeah, so generally what will happen is we'll give a brief before each day or in the evening, probably around the fire with a nice sundowner, and then I'll give the rough route, which direction we're going to head in, but more importantly, what time we start the following day. It's generally going to be the same time each day. We want to go as early as possible just to beat the heat, number one, but more importantly, the early morning hours are quite cool and the wildlife's actually moving around, which is what we want to see. So the normal sort of time will be 06:30, and then, like Matt said, this is a ride, it's not a race, so take, you know, a few hours, 3 to 4 hours for everyone to sort of finish and then relax when you get back. And then we'll also add in some support crews to follow you along the route. We'll also provide a bike mechanic if there's any, even along the route, even if you have a puncture or your chain comes off, we'll have a support mechanic following us as we go. And then even when you get back, just hand your bike over, we'll clean the bike, and then the bike fundi will have a look at it and fix it for you. And then also along the route, we'll explain in the brief, like I said before, we also have medical teams that will be following us. We have in-house paramedics here, so there's nothing to worry about. It's more for a little sprain or scratch. They can patch you up with a, you know, bit of spray if you've got an aching muscle, or a plaster if you have a scratch from anything. And then I'll go more into detail of the safety in the brief, but we're going to have our game scouts riding with you. Some of the guys have been working here for almost 20 years, so they can spot wildlife pretty well. Then they just give a signal. We watch the wildlife, enjoy it, and then carry on.
Yeah, your biking gear and a positive attitude.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you put it. Thanks, guys, both for obviously what you bring to this conservation project, and also for sitting here and chatting away. One thing I did want to ask both of you is why conservation is something that you think is important, and why you think events like this have a role to play in conservation.
Conservation's important for our very own well-being. And as people, without, you know, landscapes like this, healthy landscapes, and building resilience into those landscapes, we are only going to suffer more, especially as we deal with the consequences of a changing climate. We need to be protecting these from an ecosystem services perspective. And I think there's a spiritual part of this as well. As humans, we were created to live and be a part of nature. And it's unfortunate that, you know, as we sit here today, so much of the planet has changed, and a lot of it in a negative way, which is having significant impacts on you know, populations around the world. So it's important to protect these landscapes so that people and wildlife can continue to thrive. Helps to offset so many of the negatives, you know, the increase in carbon, etc. They act as, you know, massive carbon sinks that store that away. So there are a number of reasons that, you know, we could sit here and talk about. And then to launch this event, to celebrate what these natural spaces offer us, you know, and at the same time to celebrate and recognize what an anti-poaching game scout or ranger does in order for us to be able to enjoy that nature.
Glenn?
My version. I'm going to beat that. No, you know, you choose this lane going into sort of conservation, and you sort of, at first you think why you want to do it, but it takes a number of years to realize what really matters. And yeah, I think what really matters is we're here now. We've chosen this task. For me, try and protect it for future generations, people who have children, people who are going to have children. We don't want them looking at rhinos and elephants in books. So hence the word conservation. We need to try and conserve them. And down to endangered species, we have endangered species in the area. So trying to sort of slow down the bleed, if that makes sense, for them to recover so that when we're no longer here, they're still around. To quote Mr. Albert Einstein, which is in one of the Singita camps, he says, if you look deep into nature, it'll help you understand everything else a bit better. Also, I'm not a city person, but if you are, it's a great place to just relax and heal the soul, get back to wherever you come from, nice and refreshed and eager to do whatever you get your teeth into.
Yeah, thanks both of you guys. To those listening, thanks for listening. We hope you're feeling maybe a little bit more curious about anti-poaching, a little more moved to act in conservation, and hopefully a little bit more eager to take your biking gear out and join us in the Serengeti. I hope that's inspired you to book the Wagora Bike Ride 2025. If you know someone in the world who would love this, please share this episode with them. And you can see more detail on Singita's website, www.singita.com, or linked in the show notes. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of the Singita podcast, Safari Conversations. Until next time.
Thanks for having us, Skylar.
Thank you, Skylar. And
we look forward to seeing some of you in the Serengeti.
Thank you for listening. If you want to follow other episodes of our podcast series, Safari Conversations, please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from or on our website at singita.com.